Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
And now, Hangar 56 Media presents Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable cars and coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast, Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
Dogs, an Englishman, Tatuaje Cigars, Brentwood, Johnny Lieberman.
Hello!
Here we are, folks. Let me fade out our friend. God, I love this album. We got a great show for you today, guys. Johnny and I are here on a Sunday in Malibu. Zuckerman's away at a wedding. Mm-hmm. Is that away at a wedding? Is that what he's doing?
I mean, his wedding, someone's wedding.
He's doing something, I'm sure, legal, but he said, yeah,
I got to go to a wedding. Don't ask me any questions past that.
Don't ask where.
It's nice to be with you all. We're excited to be here. I love Joe Cocker. I really love Joe Cocker, and you and I were just talking about this. Look at this album cover. Mad Dogs and Englishmen, right?
I just like how that got set up, and a lot of people looked at it and said, "Yeah, that's that's gonna sell it to the
this
kids."
This is Joe Cocker in red, white, and blue font. Underneath it, Mad Dogs and Englishmen, and then some sort of like Technicolor like bedroom mirror, and he's in the middle of it with poodle hair, is what it looks like, and a bicep, and you know some fashionable Gap jeans.
Yeah,
and this is the deluxe edition. I was telling you that earlier that I didn't have albums. I didn't know any music. Like when I was introduced to music, it was all my dad's music collection,
sure. Yeah.
All of his vinyl. And there was just this pile of it in this giant stereophonic phono box, you know, that was a piece of furniture, very big.
Oh, that, wow. Yeah.
That you lifted up the top, and when your brother would slam it down to your fingers and you'd break your fingers on it. And, I was just fascinated by these albums. This was one of them. You know, there was lots of jazz in his collection, but when I saw this album, I put it on and I went, all right, my parents, they're not teaching me much about life here. I'm ready for something new. And I would play this album looking for the meaning of life. I would play Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Band going, where do I go from here?
Yeah.
I would play this the Santana. I'd listen to some Wes Montgomery, but it was mostly this rock and roll stuff. There was another one too. There's a great.
See, I had.
Oh, there was a couple. There was Hendrix.
Oh, that's
performing
good, yeah.
Live.
Oh, that's cool.
What is the name of that album? Band of Gypsies.
My dad was into Chopin and show tunes, anything with show in it. And
hello, Frisco, yeah. Johnny, how you doing?
He just had classic and show tunes on vinyl. He had one reel to reel, and it was labeled acid jazz, and it had like Hendrix and Zeppelin, and I would play that because it was the only thing like, you know, that was sort of new. It was 20 years out of date, but. But yeah, no, he'd be like, hey, look at this. We got switched on Bach. It's Bach with a synthesizer. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then it was like, Rodgers and Hammerstein, I am the captain of the pinafore. You know, that's what he would sing to me. So
You remember like a world without computers and media and iPhones? Like that cover of Sgt. Pepper's, I would just sit for hours and try to decipher every person, the meaning, why they were collected there, and what the overall message for me from the Beatles was.
Right. Right? I did that, you know, for a bit, and then I realized there's no message. They just threw it together. Somebody threw it together.
See,
for them.
I didn't. I wasn't smart enough to know that. I interpreted messages and then I acted on them.
So
and
did Charles Manson.
Well, Hendrix in particular, and that band of gypsies at the Fillmore East, I think that's where that concert was, that led me right into guitar playing. That informed my style of guitar. I dressed like Hendrix, and I started turning up my amps too loud and making feedback. And that's really the type of guitarist I was in high school. And in the folk group in the Catholic Church on Sundays. I did two shows. I called them shows. I did two Sunday shows with them with my Lark acoustic.
Oh,
and then
great.
That third week, without telling any of them, I loaded in the amps.
Spike goes electric.
And I brought my fake Stratocaster. No, I think I was playing a Kramer at the time. And when the priest said, whatever he said, and now the, suddenly you heard, and we did I got one song off with Hendrix and a folk group. It was awesome. And before the mass was over, the altar boy came up and said, hey, that priest said, don't do that again. You got to turn the guitar off. You got to turn that off. But imagine that one brief shining moment of Hendrix guitar in St. Anne's Cathedral on a Sunday.
Hey, man.
The first legit exciting moment in all of those years of church I had to endure. And I wasn't doing it to be mean or a dick. I was just like, this is going to bring this church right into 1976, baby. Here we go. Here we go, everybody. Spike's Car Radio, sponsored this week by Raycon, collecting cars and Harry's. Let's get into the biggest story of the week. The Malibu car show piece in the LA Times.
Front page of the LA Times.
Front page. You're right. You know, not long ago they reached out and asked us to participate, and everyone did, from the mayor of Malibu to us to Mr. Seinfeld, Mr. Leno, and the piece. You know, the first thing, the funny thing I was telling you, I didn't know where to get a newspaper. I forgot that I get these Google alerts if my name is mentioned. That's how I hear about stuff.
Right, right, right.
And so it's like, God, how do I get a newspaper? And no, I asked Erica. She's like, I don't know. I don't know where to get newspapers. You know, and then she, you know, they closed the newsstand down at the Whole Foods. And I'm like, oh, okay, don't need a speech. So I was working phones like a producer. Do you sell newspapers? We do not, sir. They're hanging up. And I finally found one, and it looked like a badly mimeographed piece of paper. You know, really
thin. Newspaper quality has gone down.
Yeah. It used to be, you know, it had so much ink on it, your hands would get black, and it had, oh, it's great. This was, I don't know what this was, like a faded photograph in a store window. But yeah,
change
you're right.
Change the toner, yeah.
We were on the front page. And
pretty good.
You know, what did you think? I mean, they didn't talk to you, did they?
No. Well, that's funny you say that.
But you saw this with fresh eyes and you read it. How did it come off?
So I read it, and you know, it was exciting because it's like, hey, you know, it's a car show I've been to, and it's, you know, it's you and Farrah and Zuckerman and Leno and Jerry, and I know all these people, and Bill, and I'm such an egomaniac. I'm going through the article. I'm like, oh, they didn't mention me. I had nothing to do with this story. But I'm like, they said Zuckerman's the other cast member. I'm like, And then I kind of, you know, they really did the both sides-ism without reaching a conclusion. They didn't say, and Spike is right, or and the mayor is right. They just kind of presented both sides. And I'm like, I'm so glad I wasn't mentioned. I don't want to be, because the mayor's making it sound as if there really is people doing burnouts in, you know, in the parking lot.
Right. I want to go through all that because very quickly the story echoed across. It went to the Daily Mail. It went to the big newspaper in Ireland. It was on Jalopnik. It was on all the sites.
Right, of course.
It spun a little out of control. It did arrive at a conclusion, though. There was a conclusion. Everyone has a different opinion about what's wrong, but all can agree on one thing.
The Lamborghinis are ruining it for everybody.
That was one conclusion that we all agreed on. Yeah. It was?
Well, we'll get to that, but yeah.
And the second piece was what they're doing right now is a disaster, right? It's a failure. I'm sorry, is the word they use. It's
right,
a failure.
Right, right.
Right, right.
So everyone listening knows, so I go, you know, I've been a handful of times. I'm not a regular because for me it's a schlep out there where I live. But I remember when it was really getting big, like right in the middle of the pandemic. I remember I was sitting there and I was, I think all of us were sitting at a table. It was like me, you, Jerry was there, Paul, sitting next to Paul, we're having breakfast. And like three Aventadors pull in. It's a great mellow show. Nothing bad happens. People just walk around with coffee and look at cars, right? Three Aventadors pull in. The guys put it in neutral and just start revving these V12s. And I remember I turned to Farah, I think. I'm like, that's the end of this. I'm like, these guys are going to get this show shut down.
Yeah, but then Leno, I've been there when Leno and I and people go over and go, stop that.
Yeah. Oh, no, we did that. I remember you and I that one time, we yelled at the guy with the center. We're like, don't park there. And he's like, what?
Like,
you're, it's illegal to park there. It's a fire
thing. I do want to get, you know, and there were some people going, hey, you guys, you know, you're being disrespectful to the store owners. And it's like, well, we used to just come here. Bill O was the first to open up in the Malibu Country Mart. That, I mean, like, he was open at 6:30, 7 a.m.
Right.
And we used to come and hang out before all the stores opened up at 10 and mostly at 11 a.m.
And by the way, you and Jerry started doing this like 2 decades ago, right? I mean, this is an old thing.
We would just do this because we liked to get coffee and we liked Bill. And we were just going like anybody would go, hey, let's go get a cup of coffee and chat. But my point was that, you know, me personally, I'm only going to speak for myself. I shop at these stores all the time. And when all of these people started showing up after the pandemic on their own, it was always an empty lot with stores that aren't open, except for a place called Marmalade. Which you'll hear this woman in her TV interview, who was like, yeah, no, these guys really cranked our business up. We had nonstop. Bill's business on Sunday exploded all before the Country Mart lot opened at 10 and or 11. Then what happened was people got upset and there's a pressure put on them by the mayor, and now everybody's kept out till 10. Everybody still comes because we all like to get together, have coffee, go to these restaurants and shop. Oliver Peoples, Marine Layer, all the great stores that we like. And that's where this problem for the shop owners started. Not us, not car people, not people. It was the landlords putting up the barriers on the orders of this mayor who delayed this thing from happening. Anyway, here's where it starts to spin out of control, and it's not all that accurate. Daily Mail headline, okay?
Yeah, small little paper in England. Yeah,
in England that everybody reads because the cool pictures in the column that go down, all those little TMZ pictures. Jay Leno, Jerry Seinfeld, and car enthusiast friends are at war with landlords after being banned from a parking lot where they show off their vintage rides. Okay.
The imagery. Like, imagine like Jay and Jerry with like guns.
Yeah, it shows them
stalking through the parking lot.
There's a picture of them and comedians in cars getting coffee, just smiling like this. Okay. Let's just touch upon some of the inaccuracies. Jerry Seinfeld has been there once since the pandemic started.
Yeah.
And here's what he said. This is great. Yeah, a lot of people showed up. This is wonderful.
And then he never came again because it's too crowded.
And this is what he said the night before. Hey, what time do you want to go tomorrow? And I go, 10. They open everything up at 10. He goes, great. Okay, I'll see you there. We'll get breakfast. There's no war. He was never notified. He was never banned. Nobody's banned. There's no war. These are just people going to a diner and sitting down. It's weird. That's one thing.
Yeah.
You know, Leno, it's the same thing. Like he's like, oh, what time are they opening up tomorrow? And I go, 10. He goes, oh, great. I can sleep in. That's perfect. Okay, see you there. He goes, you know what? And then he says, and very sincerely, you know what I love about going for coffee there is I get to meet all walks of life. It's so different than the rich white guy events. And he didn't use that phrase, rich white guy, but that's what he's saying. These rich guy events.
It's not Pebble Beach.
It's not Pebble Beach. It's not – there are a few shows up in Malibu where you have to buy your spot to park your car and show it off for $100. He goes, this is just anybody showing up in custom-built Miatas and there are, you know, a bunch of female builders. There's lots of diversity. You know, a lot of American – there's just a lot of good stuff. And people are so excited. Shoppers, everybody is so excited. Can you imagine if you were the owner of the Mall of America – what you would have to pay Jerry Seinfeld or Jay Leno to show up to make an appearance.
Right, right. Right? You, oh.
Right? What it would cost you?
Yeah. Six figures.
Seven figures. Eight. No, we're talking like it would be $5 million and I'll come down there for an hour.
An hour. And I'm going to leave early. Yeah.
Yeah, and
No, it's true.
Let me play you, and this will be fun to comment on. Let me play you the, and thanks to our PodTrack 8, I can do this, the KTLA piece, right?
That's the local news.
Yeah. So Bill, I was working Monday, but I got a text from Bill. He said, hey, KTLA wants to talk to you. And I'm like, about what? They go, about the story. And I go, oh, the story. It's a story now. I go, okay, just tell her to text me. I'm busy. I don't think I can do it. This reporter was down there doing a live spot. Had to be done. This is also about, forget about newspapers are over. Local news is over.
It's been over for a long time.
Right. Yeah. If I can do the spot from Malibu, it will have impact. But let me play it for you because I think you'll hear that it's funny.
Hi, are these pop-up car events a problem? Well, it depends on who you ask. The city's mayor says they've grown during the pandemic and now they've taken a life of their own.
Okay, first of all, what is a pop-up car show? what is she talking about?
I mean, it's funny because cars and coffee has been going on for 15 years. The idea, right? And it's just you show up, and that's the best point. It's all before anything happens on a Sunday. Some people go to church. People with cars go. You gather. You drink a cup of coffee. You're there for an hour, 90 minutes, and you leave. It's just gone.
I don't know what she's talking about. Right. Pop-up car show. Let's just keep listening.
Maybe the rare collector cars or some of the celebrities who drive them.
That's Jay Leno backing out in his Honda.
Large crowds to the Malibu Village parking lot on Sundays.
Okay. Malibu Village parking. It's the Malibu Country Mart. Okay.
So I work at Marmalade Cafe. It brings a lot of business in. Good people in. Absolutely love it. And I'm a car person, so how can I not?
So there you go. There's Marmalade going. These people are nice. Everybody's laid back. It's just a bunch of old guys, men and women, chilling out and talking about their cars for an hour.
And if I can add real quick, before it got insanely big, when it was just getting big during the pandemic, my friend Jeff and I were down there, and like the line for Bill's was out the door. And I'm like, let's go to any other place.
It's good for business.
Well, but let's go to any other place. And like Marmalade was like, oh, yeah, it'll be 90 minutes to get breakfast. And like the coffee shop was out the door.
And Starbucks is jammed up.
Yeah. There's no way to get it. The businesses that are open are doing great.
For years, some well-known friends in fancy cars have been stopping in for
fancy cars. Okay,
well, they are fancy.
Okay, hold on.
Coffee at Malibu Kitchen.
It brings Jay Leno in here with all the other people.
But during the pandemic, more and more people started packing the parking lot. The popularity of these pop-up car events.
More pop at the pack, the packing the parking lot, pop and the pack it, pop.
That's some Spiro Agnew.
As word spread on social media.
People were supposed to wear masks and basically try to be safe for everybody. And that wasn't happening, and we got a lot of citizen complaints. And we started also having some really extreme cases of people driving unsafely on PCH.
Okay, that's the mayor of Malibu.
Two points.
Hold on.
Oh, okay.
Did you hear how he said that? I can't roll back, but then we started having some really – he's equating – the millions of cars that travel on the Pacific Coast Highway and saying, that's these guys.
Right. That's the 200 parking spots in that lot are caused.
Yes.
But here's the other thing. That show had more masks outdoors at the height. Maskless Tony was the only guy not in a mask.
To be fair to him, and I've met this guy before, he's a decent guy. Obviously, Malibu is a tiny little hamlet. He's not a masterful politician. But what he's trying to say is, in the beginning, and myself included, we stopped coming there because there were a lot of people outside without masks, and it was concerning to all of us. This is at a time where you just didn't even talk to two or three other people because we didn't know what we were dealing with. So I think, to fairness to him, that's what he's saying.
But I remember when a couple of times I was there, it was really crowded. Like everybody was in masks. I mean, the ski mask guy.
Yeah.
I mean, there was everyone.
No,
was
I know.
In masks.
He's. Yeah. I don't think he's really addressing that piece. But what I didn't like about what this guy is saying is the for those of you who don't live in LA, just know a lot of people take their cars out to the canyons in Malibu that don't come to this show. People are driving in Malibu and all surroundings all the time.
Since the beginning of the car.
And what he's saying is those same people are Jay Leno, Jerry Seinfeld, and all those guys over there. It's not true. Let's keep listening.
Malibu Mayor Paul Grisanti says the city instructed the sheriff's department to ticket and impound those breaking the law.
Okay, now that is the first piece of information I did not have, because when the sheriff leaned on us, he didn't say who was doing it, and he, you know, got a little mush mouth when we kind of pushed him on it. But now we know it was this guy.
For some businesses, the parking gridlock was the main problem.
People avoid coming here on the weekends to do their shopping and errands because there's just no place to park. But I would like to see the parking controlled.
The mayor said.
Okay, but what does that have to do with the car show? He's right. Saturdays are a disaster. You can't go there and shop. But that we're not there Saturdays, and it would be great. I think that's what Matt Farah might have been talking about. Is on Saturdays in the summer when it's the height of tourist season, there are quite a few people that use that lot as a parking lot for the beach illegally, and then go across the street. And he's right. That guy. He runs an optometry shop, or it just might be, you know, people aren't buying optometry stuff.
Yeah.
Let's just keep listening.
Okay, the property's landlord put up barricades to help control the parking situation, but some say that's actually not helping.
The problem is what they do is they block it off in the morning early. The car people wait. They come in at 10 o'clock when they move the barricades. That's when it gets crowded.
The mayor says they'll continue strict enforcement in the area.
Okay, listen to this. This is the mayor. Listen to how what he says right now. This is really funny.
The message is, if you come to Malibu and you drive like an idiot and we catch you, we're going to impound your car.
If you come to Malibu and you drive like an idiot and we catch you, then he says, Johnny, we'll impound your car. Who, you? The Malibu government? What are you talking about? Well, isn't it a general rule, Mr. Mayor, in Los Angeles, in general, if you drive like an idiot, you'll be ticketed for exhibition of speed, and there is the chance that... Isn't that everywhere?
Yeah, but he's threatening. It's extra enforcement. But the other thing is, if people are coming to a show... And to park. They're not coming to, drag race. They're coming to, not drive. They're literally coming there so they can sit off the road safely in a parking lot. And then you're not going to let them do that. Then they're going to be angry and get in their cars and, you know, drive away.
Yeah.
You know,
I can only speak from my experience. The people at the show are not the people driving like idiots in the canyon. Sorry. Let's just wrap this up. Listen.
Kimberly, do you know where these impromptu classic car meetups are going to happen if they have to relocate?
You should see this guy's face. He looks so clueless about the automotive. Do you know where these guys will have to go? Is that really the question? Is that really your best follow-up question?
The other parking lot. They'll have
the
to
other
go
parking
to the-
lot.
Well, so we asked the mayor, what does he think is going to happen next? And he says, you know, this is not something that is unique to this area. This happens in other areas, too. They take on a life of their own. They grow. And then at some point, they die down. And he's hoping that that's going to happen soon.
That will not happen. Sorry. I don't. And again, I say that observationally. That will not happen because for the last 70 years, people have enjoyed driving their cars around Malibu. For the last 70 years at least.
Longer.
Maybe longer,
yeah,
right?
Much longer. Much
yes,
longer.
Mr. Mayor. I'm sorry. The funny part about that news lady, who's perfectly nice, very lovely lady. I had a nice chat with her. She said, I need you to come out to Malibu. I said, well, you know, I don't want to be on the news. I'm not interested in that. But I go, why do you need me to come out to Malibu? I'm right here in Brentwood. You could just drive over. She goes, no, I'm doing a live spot there. And so the shot you guys can't see is her standing in front of a pile of dirt. She's doing a live spot in front of a pile of dirt in Malibu.
Malibu dirt.
That's Malibu dirt. Let's talk about Raycon.
Yeah.
Let's do an ad. And then we'll get into it. All right, Raycon, it's never too early to start gift shopping for the holidays, especially because today you can save big on a gift they're going to use every day. Raycon wireless buds. We love these things. My son stole mine, as you know. The kids all took our wireless buds. Raycon, please give us some more. With seamless Bluetooth pairing and comfortable noise isolating fit, you can start listening right away and keep listening for hours. The audio quality is amazing. comparable to what you get from other premium brands, except Raycon starts at half the price. Half price. The new Everyday Buds come with three new sound profiles to make sure you're listening to sounds that sound its best with just the right amount of bass. You got Pure Mode, Balanced Mode, and Bass Mode.
Yeah, I got the same modes for my flatulence. Zuckerman, quiet! What? I'm getting married, did I tell you?
Raycon offers 8 hours of playtime and 32-hour battery life. There's also a built-in mic, and you can take calls on your earbuds at the press of a button.
Hey, I'm getting a call now. Tell me about them fucking checks. Yeah, give me the money.
So this holiday season, get them something they can use for calls or music or for work and play at home or on the go or pick up a pair for yourself. Trust me, you're going to like them. Call to action is this by Raycon. You got to go to buyraycon.com/spike911. This is a microsite, so it's raycon.com/spike911. You'll unlock exclusive deals for up to 20% off on your Raycon order. But hurry, this offer is only available for a limited time only. You don't want to miss it. That's buyraycon.com/spike911. Buyraycon.com/spike911.
Yeah. I hate you, Spike. Zuckerman.
I like it. I mean, I love having Zuckerman on the show. But it's so much fun to replace him on the show for a show. Like, and I'm energized right now.
I just came
out of a writing. This is like, you know, we did 3 hours of writing this morning, and it gets you rep. And you just sit and you drink coffee, and your mind gets.
I'm
nice.
I'm missing the coffee. I messed up on that. I need the coffee.
Yesterday, Johnny Lieberman and I were at the California Festival of Speed.
Yeah.
I want to thank Vanita for inviting us out. We were the featured VIPs.
Along with that Porsche girl.
Along with that Porsche girl. Very delightful. I had not met her before. She's really cool. Who else did we see there? We saw...
My doppelganger.
Justin...
Justin Bell was there.
Justin Bell was there. It was nice to see him only for a second. Yeah. It was a little, you know, we were brought in. It's at Fontana. What is that?
The Speedway.
The Speedway. California Speedway. Which is, I forgot how big these NASCAR tracks, I mean,
that's
a
big one.
Giant.
That's a 2 mile giant oval. Yeah, that's
arena
a monster.
And
yeah.
Track. And we have a private suite for you guys. You go up there, and then it was just a bunch of people in an airless room with no masks. And I was like, I don't know if you could tell, but I was kind of like, oh, hey, it's hey, Spike. Oh, hi, Justin. Okay, British guy. Keep your distance. And, you know, I could see little Jack looking up. I was like, oh, you always tell me I got to wear a mask. How come these guys aren't? Right? So I got out of that room fairly quickly.
Oh, you did? Yes. You were quick. You were on the roof.
I was like, is there an
seconds.
Outdoor place I can look? But you know what was fun about it? It was remember how big the Porsche community is and how diverse it is as far as – you know, we're a bunch of guys that drive our cars around the west side of LA and show them. These guys are all racers.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and they're just, you can just see, they're just, some of those guys were old.
Oh, very ancient.
Ancient. And they just love it, right?
They were going for it. Oh, one guy, we were talking to one guy, something happened, his like taillights fell out. And he was like, God dang it, this means I'm done for tomorrow. I can't run anymore. I'm like, well, this is a solvable problem, sir. You're in Los Angeles, and you need a 993 taillight. Like, they grow on trees, you know? And he's like, ah. And, it was cool. And it was, I, of course, brought the Mercedes because, you know.
That was weird. It's a nice car, but it was weird.
It was a CLK 63 Black Series.
But why isn't this? Wasn't it a Porsche event?
It's a Porsche
or am I
event.
Wrong?
I don't want to go along, you know. And they said, hey, would you be a celebrity guest? So I thought it'd be cute if I got a car out of the Classic Center. And Mercedes was totally into it. They're like, oh, we get to bring a Mercedes to a Porsche event. But it's the kind of Mercedes that Porsche guys love. So it was cool.
I drove Zuckerman's GT2 RS.
On the track. How was that?
Because I had young Jack with me, the 12-year-old, who, you know, I'll be honest with you guys. He's at that age. He doesn't want to hang out with dad anymore. And I said, I'm going to this thing tomorrow. And he goes, can I come? Will we race? And I went, yes. Not knowing what we were even going to. And we ended up doing a parade lap, right? We sat in line with everybody and we waited to go out. And, you know, I was kind of, you know, rolling my eyes at it. But it was really, you know, the second you get onto an oval and you see that big bank turn and you're, you know, we were doing 80. We slowed down a little bit and popped it up to 110. But it really was fun.
Yeah, even banking is
yeah,
the
it
best.
Was just yeah. fun. Yeah. It was just fun. And I met SCR fans like you did, and you know, a nice fella from Phoenix, and who had a great Hamilton watch choice. It was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He's like, I listen to you guys, and, you know, that's why I got this one. I can't afford the Rolex. I go, you know what? That's a cooler watch anyways. It looks great. And then I said, let me just talk to you about, because he was asking about what the lapping was like and did I like the GT2 RS. And I said, you know, I'd never been on a track in that car, and it was the first time it felt like I was in a space that matched what the car was capable of.
Yeah, oh, that, first of all, that car could have done 190 around that track. Like,
yeah, but
easy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so overpowered city streets. Yeah, and, you know, immediately, again, I had that moment of why is there not a race car in our collection? Something that's got the right wheels and tires, that sole purpose is to go to events like this and open up and have some fun.
You should. You should get a couple of them, yeah.
Right.
When you were doing that, Laura and I, that Porsche girl is named Laura. So we went up in the tower, the big massive tower, like 100 stories up.
Yep.
And we were just having fun. It was actually pretty fun. And we were making fun of you. And I think you heard us.
Yeah, Jack said, I think I just heard your name over the loudspeaker. But I rolled the window down. I heard, he goes, Spike loves hugs. Spike loves kisses. Spike.
Well, the guy's like, so if you see Johnny and Laura walking around, he actually kept saying, that Porsche lady. If you see that Porsche lady,
yeah,
that Porsche broad. And I'm like, you know what? Don't shake my hand. But Spike loves it. Give him a hug. Give him a kiss. He loves all
that.
That
was funny. Yeah. But you know, no one was listening to it. Everybody's just racing.
I have no idea what was happening. But Marco was there. I missed him.
Marco Girasi was there from TLG. That's how it worked itself out. I started getting texts from people I knew there, and I wanted to stay longer, and I had to leave. But anyway, it was a great event.
Super
it was a
fun.
Really fun event.
Super fun.
Lots of folks reached out and asked about it, and that's what we have to say about it. Next year.
Actually, it's done. This is it.
That was it?
That's the last one. So the Speedway, the rumor is that Speedway is being demolished and it's going to become a half-mile oval. So it's going to go from 2 miles to a half mile because they want to build houses in that parking lot or something cockamamie like that. That said, NASCAR hasn't given them permission to get rid of the track yet. So it's kind of in limbo. But that's, yeah, supposedly it's the last Festival of Speed, or California Festival of Speed, which is too bad because, you know, if you're into Porsches, it's like heaven. It's, you know.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Yeah. But they also have that really great kart racing school there, too, which
they
really
do.
Yeah. Remember when you met your buddy there? There was a guy who looked just like you. I'll put the picture
Jonah.
Up. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Jonah.
Yeah, yeah.
Jonah Nolan.
Yeah, No. I mean the guy with the beard.
Oh, yesterday. Yeah,
yesterday.
Yeah, my doppelganger.
Your doppelganger was there.
We're wearing the same shirt. That
was
hysterical.
Look at my Instagram feed right now and swipe to the right and you're going to see the picture. That guy has not looked in the mirror recently.
Alex Berman.
Alex. He doesn't even know what he looks like. That beard has been growing out in yours for over a year and it's a hot new thing for you for a minute. But here's what I'm going to suggest. Now that it's hot outside, you guys need to tame those bad boys and Harry's can help. Didn't know I was going there, did you? Heading back into the office, time to get back that fresh, clean, all-business look. Let Harry's help. Your morning routine, shower, shave, and well, you know, Harry's can make two out of the three easier and better. If you don't know Harry's, it's time to. Harry's was created to be different from other shaving companies. Harry's crafts high-quality, long-lasting blades and durable weighted handles that make a close, comfortable shave quick, dare we say, enjoyable. I shave my head with them. Yes, you do, Zuckerman, because you lost your... I lost my hair when I was 6 years old. Wow, that's really young to lose them, Zuckerman. And because Harry's insists that you shouldn't have to choose between a great shave and a fair price, they give you both. Refilled blades start as low as $2. Easy decision, even easier. New Harry's customers get their starter set, which includes a 5-blade razor-weighted handle, foaming gel, aloe, and a travel cover. It's a $13 value, all for just $3. Have I given you Harry stuff yet?
No, I don't shave.
Oh, you don't shave anything?
I do a little bit. I mean, I have
what
no
do you
Harry
have to
stuff.
Do to your beard? Don't you do a beard trim?
I go to a barber and they cut my beard for me.
The barber does?
Yeah.
Does he wear a hazmat suit?
Yeah.
Harrys.com.
No, wait, no.
That's Harrys.com/Spike911. That's where you need to go. Another microsite. Harrys.com/Spike911. You'll get their starter kit for just $3. Wow. It's 100% satisfaction guaranteed, so you've got nothing to lose. Go to Harrys.com/Spike911 right now to get your special offer. Harrys.com/Spike911. And it's Harrys. You know, if you don't read an ad exactly right, they make you do it again.
They do. This is known.
And then I generally don't do it, but whatever. That's a lot. I mean, they must be selling ads all over the place.
I'm sure they are.
They don't really need us.
Yeah.
I don't have any music for you for What's Johnny Driving.
Well, I'm
well,
driving.
Maybe. Well, maybe I can. Maybe I could find some.
All right. I'll. I have two this week, so I'll start with the Mercedes and switch to the other one when you find the music. So, Mercedes CLK 63 Black Series. It's the best.
Well, this was the car you brought yesterday,
this is the
right?
Car I brought.
And tell everybody how you got this car.
I called Mercedes, and it's from the Classic Center, which is
so you have the ability. Like going to a public library to remove a Mercedes from the Classic Center.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
It's awesome. And this, I'm so in love with this car. Second one I've driven. I've driven this one before. And then this guy I met up at another illicit car show, let me drive his. But it's the first real, like, oh my God, it can handle AMG. It was Tobias Moore, who is now the CEO of Aston Martin, but when he was the chief engineer of AMG, this was his baby. It's a 500 horsepower 6.2 liter naturally aspirated V8. It has the best steering, almost the best steering of any car in the world. It's just like even on the freeway in a straight line, you just feel everything working through the steering wheel, and it's just shocking how good it is. And my wife and I went to a party, a Halloween party last night in it, and I was telling her, I'm like, listen, babe, if you want this marriage to last, this is what it's going to cost you. You got to get me one of these. This
really?
Is,
so you would buy one of these?
Oh, in a heartbeat. I mean, the problem is, it was 138 grand new.
Right.
They did dip down to 70. They're now up to way over 138,000. So it's I missed the boat for a cheap one, but I'm in love. And this one's red. Lunar red, I think, and
yeah, here it is on your Instagram.
Almost none of them are red; they're usually black.
It's not the best looking thing that I've seen.
It's aggressive and cool, though. I mean,
and it's a 2008.
2008, and it was funny, you know, driving to your house. A woman pulled out in a regular, same front end C-Class from that era, and just it's the same, you know, Mr. Peanut headlights, but then. You know, it's such a hot rod. It's like the fenders are flared out a foot, and it's got holes in it, and it's just the best. I love that thing. But that's not what we're here to talk about.
No,
I drove.
No. You had a very, very cool special car on your Instagram.
I went
last week
to COVID land, aka Texas, and a mask-free state, if there ever was one. I was literally the only person. I was waiting in line for a rental car. I was the only person in a mask. We're indoors.
Was there a separate line for people like you?
No. But everyone was like, oh, why is he wearing a mask? Must be sick.
It's kind of like yesterday's event.
Yeah. but anyways, I drove this thing, Spike, the Pagani Huayra R. So they're going to make 30. This is the prototype.
I thought you said 28.
14 are coming to the U.S. Total of 30 will be sold. They're all sold.
Okay.
Over $3 million each. Track only. It's an all-new vehicle. It shares nothing in common with the actual Huayra, including the engine. The engine is built by HWA, who builds, like, if Mercedes does, like, DTM cars, HWA builds those engines. It is a 6-liter naturally aspirated 48-valve V12. Revs to 9,200 RPM. Makes 850 horsepower, and the car probably weighs 2,700 pounds. So I got to do...
They have it in kilograms. 1050.
That's the dry weight. So that's 2,400 pounds. So that means no fluid. So if you put in, you know, oil and brake fluid and gasoline, and it has fire suppression, all that stuff, I'm going to say it adds 300 pounds. I did 5 laps of COTA. So it's a big F1 track, you know, 3.5 mile track. It was awesome. You gotta hear it. The thing sounds like, you know, in Game of Thrones when the dragons go and they burn people.
I can do it. Is it on your Instagram?
It is on my Instagram. Yeah.
And you had a starting sequence.
Don't forget that one didn't, that would blew the mic out. There's one after not that one. Down. It's other way. Scroll other direction. Right there. That one. Yeah. Can you do that? If you can make this happen.
Sure.
This is an iPhone in the middle of pit lane.
Wow.
It's insane.
Let's do it again.
Yeah.
High-pitched.
That's one car. That's one car by itself. It's just insane.
Where is that high pitch sound?
It's a big V12. I mean, V12s are very high-pitched. You know, they're 60, 65 degrees, whatever they are. They make great noise. And it's basically straight pipe. Now, I should mention, that noise you heard, It had two silencers on the exhaust because they got in trouble in Europe. They were testing just actual straight pipes.
Right.
And so Horatio was like, I don't want to bring the car out and them say we can't run it. So he put silent, that's with silencers. That's what it sounds like. And it was a real treat. And apparently, for whatever reason, I'm the only journalist they're going to let drive it. And I got to drive it, and it was just highlight of a career. You know what I mean? It was that good. And full story will be on Motor Trend next week, something like that. If we get the pictures in time.
Is that going to be a customer car, or is that just...
I believe that's the prototype. So that one will just stay with Pagani. Maybe they'll sell it. But they're either going to build 29 more or 30 more. And again, it's like 2.6 million euros before, you know, options, and they're all sold. And it's unbelievable. Completely handmade. Total race car. It's got like...
Forgive me for asking, where do they make these things?
In Italy. In Maranello, Modena, right where Ferrari and Lamborghini are.
Really?
Horatio Pagani, who was there, who I was hanging out with, and he the night before, he's like, he doesn't really speak English, but he breaks conversation. We were talking about the LMO2 because he was like one of the engineers on that. He used to work for Lamborghini. And he goes, he just breaks. He goes, Johnny, don't crash it. Just don't crash it. I go, I won't. He goes, just okay, but don't crash it.
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Yeah.
Oh, I was planning to up until this moment, Mr. Pagani.
Yeah.
But I won't now. Pass the horseradish. Mm. Thank you. Hey.
But it's just such a... And it's a real race car. I mean, like, so like the way you put it into first gear, or the way you start it up, right? You hit the main ignition, then you hit the secondary ignition, then you hear all the pumps start whirring, and that's moving oil and coolant around, right? And then you hit the start button on the little yoke steering wheel, and it goes...
Yeah, I saw that video.
Yeah, fires to life, and then you hit you hit drive, and then that you pull the right paddle that puts it in first gear, and drive, what it does is it closes the clutch, and so you have 15 seconds to start rolling, and if you don't, it opens the clutch because they don't want it to accidentally roll. And then you start rolling, you hit the pit button, so it'll keep your pit speeds under 60 kilometers an hour, get on the track, turn off that, and then you have an 850 horsepower fire breathing dragon. I mean, it's just,
wow,
just the coolest thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's like, you know, and you're strapped in, 5-point harness, everything's carbon fiber, you have a little tiny racing steering wheel, and yeah, and it's like, it's just nuts. I mean, my first lap, and we were kind of going slow, I was being paced by this pro driver, Jamie Morrow, and another Pagani. First lap on the back straight, we saw 279 kilometers an hour. So that's like 175, 180. First lap, I mean, just fucking around. And I wasn't paying attention how fast I was going, but it's just insane. Just absolutely insane. Yeah.
Wow.
Just so cool. So.
Yeah, they're cool cars, you know.
Yeah.
As always, like, I never really gave them a thought, and then the enthusiasm from my kids and the younger generation, I go, oh, no, I kind of get it. He had one earlier, and the only time I'd ever see them is at that hotel on Wilshire in Beverly Hills.
On Mr. Cecil's or
yeah,
whatever?
Yeah, you come out of the Nike store, yeah, and it's right next door to that fancy hotel, and there'd be a Pagani sitting there, or this thing with a Pagani. I'm like, what is that? Who's buying these things?
Yeah, and they're all, you know, $3 or $4 million. That one that I brought to Malibu was a $4 million one. That's
right.
That's the Roadster BC. That was actually, so that car, that Roadster BC that I drove, that was the car that set the production car lap record at Spa-Francorchamps. It went quicker than a McLaren Senna. So they're legit. I mean, they are this beautiful rolling piece of artwork, but they also really do perform. They're really light. They're really powerful. But that one, you know, has two turbochargers to make the power. This doesn't. This just has a V12 that revs out to forever. And yeah, just awesome. But anyways, so that Jamie was in that car, the RBC, pacing me. And I was following him, so I got to copy his lines. And it was just awesome. It was just unbelievable.
If you don't have $3 million for a new Pagani, or maybe you do have $3 million, but you just can't get on that list, go to collectingcars.com, especially if you're in Canada, because they just opened up a new office in Toronto. And they're ready to take on that Canadian car market as the 24/7 online auction platform eyes up global expansion. The Collecting Cars team in Toronto kicked off things. They had a Cars and Coffee up there. Guess what? They were allowed to.
Oh, yeah? The mayor didn't shut them down?
The mayor hasn't shut it down yet.
Yet.
Yeah, by the way, I mean, I've been thinking, and sorry, Collecting Cars, I'll keep doing your ad in a minute. We love you. Maybe now's the time for me to approach the landlords, the goofball mayor of Malibu, And the people of Malibu and Bill and say, why don't you let me run this? Why don't we figure this out together? Why don't you allow us to gather for a couple hours every Sunday? And then we'll be sure everybody is gone by, say, 9 o'clock, an hour before you open. What about that? Could we all do that together? Could we, like Churchill, like Yalta, could we all come together in a location to be determined and work this out with translators?
Do I get to come? Hey, I gotta be there. If you're all in one room together, I'm going to gas all of you, including you, Ferriston. Zuckerman. But don't you think that's where this should go?
Yes, I'll tell
right?
you.
Right? And I got to finish with collecting cards, right?
Then I'll tell you a story.
Yeah. What? All right, go ahead.
Well, no, when I was in high school, my band, we were very loud. It was a punk rock band in a garage. And, and somebody, the neighbor, called the cops on us. And what we did was we went door to door. And we just, you know, like, hi, we're that horribly loud band. And we found out it was this one old lady. And we're like, instead of calling the cops, call his mom, called Nick's mom, and she'll tell us to shut up.
Right.
You know, and it worked. We never had the cops come again. It was a great
solution.
Here
are the only issues that I haven't worked out is we would have to hire security and we'd have to figure out a way to get everybody out of there. But again, I have yet to meet the idiot. There have been one or two idiots. That Aventador guy that Farrah talked about who was parked in the Tesla charging area saying, claiming to the police that, you know, his car was hybrid.
Yeah.
But I think that could be the direction of this. I don't know if I have the time to do that, but
that's,
I think
that's a lot
that,
of work, yeah.
Yeah, but it might be worth doing just to make everybody happy. We don't want the people of Malibu unhappy. We don't want the store owners unhappy. We just want to be able to go and get cars. And, you know, I feel like at this point we have to apologize for our popularity, you know. I don't know. But I think that's what I might suggest to the mayor and
what
to
if,
the landlord.
Like Bruce Meyer just bought everything there.
That was suggested.
Okay, was it? Yeah.
People seem to have this opinion of us that we have the ability.
Bruce, who owns Rodeo Drive.
Oh, no, me. They says, you guys should just buy that place. Let me. Can I just tell you something? I know the numbers, the actual numbers for the one lot where Marmalade is, what these guys paid a few years ago. It is the number was so astronomically high. I was like, they won't be able to make money even if they put a brand name in every storefront. That's how much money is out there, how much that land is worth. It was, if I'm not mad, God, I thought it was just that one lot was $100 million. Mm. It was crazy, these numbers, right? So they're valuable. And by and still, that's why that landlord argument of, hey, your whole, the businesses, that's bullshit. The only way that I can see that those businesses are making money is Chipotle, which is a national chain, and that shop is a billboard for them.
Sure.
They're not turning a profit in that spot. Anyways, collecting cars. If you don't have that Pagani money, go to collectingcars.com.
They'd sell a Pagani.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Let me look, see if there's one. They've got Lamborghini Aventador. They've got a nice 2000 Subaru Impreza WRX STI Type R version 6 limited with goldy wheels. Mm. They've got watches. Look at that. They've got an 89 Alfa Romeo 75 3-liter V6. They've got cool stuff here all the time. Lancia Delta, HF, Integrale, Cat 8V. They've got an 89 Land Rover 90 pickup. Oh, that's cool. Mm. And a nice Lambretta scooter. Cool stuff. All of those things that I just mentioned would get you peace and love at the Malibu car show that does not exist. Collectingcars.com. Go check it out right now. Sign up for their newsletter. And look at this rally car. Wow. Look at that Ford 68.
Oh, yeah.
Anglia.
Yeah,
RS105E rally car Group 4 spec.
Group 4.
I've never even seen one of those before. That's why you go to collectingcars.com. They've got cool things. Johnny, we've done 48 minutes.
Well,
we can
do
a little
12 more.
We can do a few more.
Yeah.
What else do you have to talk about? I'm out of things to talk about.
You're out of things to talk about.
Yeah.
Mm.
But this is all on you. Whatever you got.
I just want to talk about that Pagani.
Hey, you were out of things to talk about 10 years ago. So it's Zuckerman. Please.
We could just do dueling Zuckerman impersonations.
Yeah.
Zuckerman.
Yeah.
Zuckerman. You know, his car. No, I got nothing. I got nothing.
I was.
You know, by the way, if you're a manufacturer and you're PR people, you're all over the place, start sending me cars. I do have time to drive stuff. I'm not the type of person who will request them. But if you want me to drive your stuff, send it to me, shoot me an email or DM me on Instagram and I'll drive it. I'm happy to hear it. I'm happy for Johnny to drive it and review it. He does a better job. But if you want to know what a dad in Brentwood thinks about your stuff, send it to me.
Well, I was going to say, I was talking a little bit to Zuckerman about that Black Series that's parked out front and how that's a very him car that he should add to his ever-expanding collection.
We have been discussing Mercedes at length. There's a lot of Mercedes talk going on right
now. That's the one, because it's not officially the first Black Series. There was an SLK 55 Black Series, but that was really more of like a body kit. This was the first one that was like tuned to drive like a DTM racer. Although they actually made a CLK DTM. I forget how few of them they made. That's on a whole other, add a zero to the price type thing. But this would be a very good Zuckerman car, especially in red, because there just aren't any. I think they made 10 in red or something. Just a wicked, wicked cool car.
We're just getting so excited about all the new Porsche stuff that's coming along. You know how eerily silent it's quiet right now in the Porsche news world right now.
Yeah.
We laid out that GT1 thing. I talked to someone who's in the know, and I heard a couple other little tidbits that I was asked not to chat about, but that got me damn excited. Is the next car going to be announced? When is the next thing?
LA Auto Show in 2 weeks. But it's going to be the GT4 RS. That's the car. And then I don't know if I can say that. I'll say it. What are they going to do? They're going to do the Club Sport Racer. So if you're talking about how you wanted a dedicated track car, the next Club Sport will be based on the GT4 RS. That could be it, because it'll kick butt. It'll be very easy to drive for a race car.
Yeah.
And then they have a couple other things I'm not going to mention, but the GT1 or whatever it's going to be, the next 918, the next
you have Carrera some GT. Information on that. Can't say it here. But
all I have is that it's not going to be at LA. It's going to be Geneva. So that'll be March. If something happens, it's not going to be. I know what they're going to have at the LA show, and it's
Can
not.
Can you imagine?
It'll be great
in Geneva.
Yeah,
if they
announce you should come. Have GT1. You been to Geneva?
Do you know I haven't gotten on a plane since the pandemic started?
But I mean, before the pandemic, have you been to the Geneva show? That's the show. Like car shows,
I would love to. Car shows, I would love to do all of it, Johnny. Do you know the only appearance I made was at this
Festival of Speed.
Festival of Speed. And as I was driving up there, I'm going, what am I doing? I'm busy. Like, I'm literally working 7 days a week right now. I can't do this. But I would go. In the spring, hypothetically, we have cameras and we have studios going. And
I was just, you know, like the I went to that Munich show and it was just kind of a bust. That was not a good car show.
I remember that. Yeah.
LA, I think, is going to be kind of a bust.
So you think Geneva, there'll be an announcement?
Geneva's the show. Like if you're a European car manufacturer, especially supercars, you launch them in Geneva. Like, you know, the Valkyrie launched there, the Jesko launched there, the Chiron launched there. The press days there are hysterical because it's all, you know, American, European press, and then just like Russian oligarchs who somehow get press passes and they walk around in like the most obnoxious, disgusting clothing you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like diamond encrusted Gucci jackets with their, you know, fully inflated.
It's hard to
girlfriend.
Get that buzz. It's like heroin addicts. You got to keep putting more heroin into the needle.
Yeah.
Right? You got to keep putting more money on your body. Yeah. Otherwise, you start to not feel special.
Yeah.
Poor billionaires again. You know, if you're a billionaire and you need to get together with other guys, it's that club we talked about, RS30 or MS13. Just find the MS13 in your neighborhood.
But I have a feeling, this is, you know, just as far as interesting car shows go, Geneva will be the last man standing. I think it's just.
What do you mean?
Like I said, that Munich show, if they asked me again, do you want to go? I just wouldn't go. I used to love to go because that was the first year it was Munich, but it used to be either Frankfurt or Paris. And like, it was just great because there's a bunch of new cars and there was like 9 cars total at the whole show and 1500 bicycles. Cause you know, Germany, they're so into like green mobility or whatever. And it's just a boring, you know, I'm into cars and it was a boring ass car show. But Geneva is like, I mean, if you go, Spike, it's like there's you walk onto the Pagani booth, right? And then next to it is the Bugatti booth, and across from it is the Koenigsegg booth, and there's Pininfarina, and there's Lamborghini and Porsche, and they're all just kind of on top of each other in this tiny little, you know, auditorium, and it's fantastic. It's like it's the best. I love Geneva, so I'm hoping that you know, there's going to be a lot of news out of Geneva this year, but I think that that if that Porsche exists, that's where it's going to happen.
Wow.
That's what's going to happen.
If. It does. It does. I want to know about, is there going to be another GT2 RS? That's what I'm really waiting to find out.
There will definitely be more powerful 911s coming. The other thing is, I'm going next 2 weeks, I'm going to Italy to drive. I don't even know the name of it, but whatever's going to replace the Huracan, I'm going to go drive that. And it'll be like a 6-month embargo. I won't be able to talk about it till April or something crazy like that, the driving impression. But they're going to show that at Geneva.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I'm stoked on that. I don't know what it's going to be, but it'll be some kind of cool supercar.
I want to thank our sponsors, Raycon, CollectingCars.com, and Harry. I also want to wish Derek Bell. Derek Bell, one of our treasures. He's 80 years old. Happy birthday, Derek Bell. Look at him. Look at this guy. Thank you, Spike. I love your show. I love you. I'm not crazy about Zuckerman, but thank you.
He's a great dude. He's seen me in my underwear. That's
why? What do you mean?
I did the Goodwood Festival of Speed a couple years ago, and I was driving one of the cars up the hill. I was driving this awesome Jaguar, this old race car from 75. Yep. And I'm like, where do I get changed? And they're like, oh, you go into the driver's club and get changed. And I'm walking in. They're like, where's your driver's club wristband? I go, what driver's club wristband? And they're like, you can't come in. And then it's like the whole Jag team's like, Johnny, get dressed. So I'm like, fuck it. And I just like, you know, drop trowel. And I look up and there's Derek Bell and the King, Richard Petty. They're staring at me because I'm standing in my boxers in front of this car. It was awesome. But that's Justin's dad who we were talking about earlier.
All right, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to take us out with a little Jimi Hendrix. This is one of the other albums we had.
Drifting.
Yeah, baby. Drifting.
On a sea
into the end of Wednesday. We'll see you guys next week on Spike's Car Radio.
On a lifeboat, sailing for.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio, brought to you by Hangar 56. Listen to new episodes every Wednesday, and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.